murders of black people by the police and the state, and whatever justice issue you want to discuss on this way to freedom. All this and more on Conversations on the Way, the Asafo edition. Internally, with respect to and including our schools, the March for Our Lives has just passed. We've had sort of this big buildup to that, a lot of conversations with certain students. And Asafo listeners, you know that I was feeling, as the young people would say, some kind of way. And I was letting you know that I was feeling some kind of way about the fact that it appeared as if black students were being and black and brown students were being invited to a table that they had already set. So black and brown youth have been talking about what the agenda is and what the agenda should be with respect to school safety. But it appears as if suddenly and mysteriously the agenda was a different agenda. And now we're supposed to be so thankful that people have given us the opportunity to speak, right? That they have used their privilege for our benefit. And I got a problem with that. And I wanted to make sure that we were reminded of some of the agenda items that black youth have always been speaking about. And so I'm so thrilled to be joined here. First, my in-studio guest, Marche Das. She is an 11th grader who has been organizing with Students Deserve this year. She has testified at LAUSD board sessions, and she is one of other students that have been featured in a series called Resist. If you haven't gotten a chance to see that, go on, get Black Pills. That's the app. Go to Resist. You can't miss it. And there are several in the series, several episodes, but you want to make sure that you look at episode 4 and episode 12, and that's where you're going to find Students Deserve, and you're going to get a chance to see this brilliant, beautiful sister who is here with bold declarations, statements, and understandings about what is happening and what needs to happen for black youth with schools. And then I am joined by another beautiful, brilliant black woman. I know it kind of goes, it's redundant in a way, but you know, we got to make sure to make it clear just in case there's those that have any questions. Dr. Angela James. Dr. James is an LAUSD parent, a researcher, and community organizer who has been organizing with Students Deserve, Black Lives Matter, and a range of organizations. She is a social justice warrior committed to co-creating a better world for young people to inhabit. Of course, we'll still be there inhabiting and enjoying that world as well. Greetings, Marche. Greetings, Angela.
Yes, thank you.
So we want to talk first. I'm going to talk with Marche, just get a sense from you. Firstly, give us a little bit of understanding of who is Students Deserve. We've had Students Deserve on the show before, but you know, it was a minute. So we want to make sure our SAFA listeners remember.
Okay, so Students Deserve, we're a group of students who fight for students' rights. We've been fighting to get the police out of our school and make it a community school. We're fighting to get people to listen to us, to understand that we don't like being criminalized. We're fighting for all kinds of rights that we need in our school, more things that we don't have, that we should have.
And that's a discussion that has been more controversial recently, right, Angela, in terms of the, for example, taking police out of schools. It's one of the things that Students Deserve, and you can correct me, Marche, but it's one of the things that Students Deserve, I know, has been talking about, is we don't need school police, we need community schools. But then we have parents who are saying, yeah, if you offer it to children, they'll only eat ice cream every day. So why are we letting them decide what's going on? And we need more police in schools. In fact, that's what's going to solve the problem. How have you addressed that and talked about that?
Those parents are not Dr. Angela James, that's for sure. The way that I address that when I talk to fellow parents is to remind them of the schools that we all grew up in, and to remind them that they were not schools policed as heavily as these schools are. What I think is important to recognize is that the increased militarization and basically turning our schools into open-air prisons has not resulted in increased safety and definitely not academic performance of our young people. Instead, it has degraded the atmosphere of these schools and eroded the sense of community in these schools.
So let's just look at the status quo, Marche, just how it is right now. When we're talking about the increased militarization, when we're talking about the conditions that students deserve raised and that Angela's raised here, what are we talking about? So students that are going to school, especially black and brown students going to school in the inner city, what is making y'all feel like you are not safe with respect to school police, et cetera?
Okay. For me,
mouth to microphone.
For me personally, you know, on our campus, we have the police, the school police, they have their own little office, their own section, and it's a group of them, and our school isn't like how the reputation perceives itself.
Well, now, what school is that, first of all?
Dorsey High School.
Woo, woo, Dorsey, woo! All right, we got to shout out all the schools. I went to school in Virginia, but we shout out Dorsey and all the schools in the hood anyway. Go
That's
ahead.
Our community school.
That's right.
So, they have their own office there, and I honestly feel like it isn't needed. And so when you're walking around campus trying to get to class and you see a bunch of police officers, you're like, oh, what did this person do or what did I do? Like, why are they here? You know, you don't really feel safe because when you see a police officer around, you know, you always feel like it's for something because they're here to, quote unquote, protect us. So what are you protecting us from when you're walking around the school or when they come in our class and they interrupt us to do random searches and they search and they throw your things all over the floor? You don't really feel protected. Protect and serve isn't what they're doing anymore. They're corrupting you. And it's scary, actually, because now this person who's supposed to protect me is actually shattering my mind, and now I don't know what to think.
I think that for our listeners, I don't know how many of you have ever had to deal with the police in conditions where you don't know what they're coming up to you for, right? For most people, you deal with police in traffic situations. And let me not say most people. Let's say a lot of the listeners, because I know that a lot of the listeners to my show are not necessarily black and brown folks, right, that are living in the community. And, you know, I'm talking to y'all, too. So I want you to know that when you're driving and a police car gets in front of you and the lights go on, for most of our listeners, and definitely for our white listeners, your understanding is, oh, they're stopping me for some traffic thing. And so even though you may not be happy about it, you may think they're wrong, you think you were driving the speed limit or you made that stop, it wasn't a California roll, you still have an idea that this is what this is about. Imagine if you were sitting, you know, eating somewhere or in a meeting, let's say, with some colleagues and in some kind of public space, and the police just started walking towards you. What would that fear be like? I can't imagine that you would not feel some level of fear. Now, it wouldn't be the same fear that we feel as black and brown folks, because we know it might be on. Like, that might be the last move you make. As we see, you can't even go in your backyard without people shooting you 20 times. So it may not be the same fear, but at least would have an inquiry. So imagine being at school and having class interrupted and you're being singled out and you don't know why. And then you don't know how this is going to turn out. And then being expected to go back to class or continue with class and operate as if nothing ever happened. Like, why would anyone think that children could do that? Angela?
That's exactly the point I make when I talk to other parents. It is unbelievable that when I'm pulled over by police, I am terrified. I don't know what's going to happen. We've all seen the videos. We live in a world where there is this subgroup of people that have unlimited access to weapons and our bodies, you know, and we don't feel protected by them. And so when I'm stopped by police, I feel terrified. I don't know what's going to happen. So to expect young people to be in the middle of their algebra lesson, stop everything, and be randomly searched, all your possessions, and you have no rights, you have no, you know, ability to resist that search, and then just go back to your algebra and perform at an advanced level. That's ridiculous. And so what we're telling our young people when we allow this is that their education is not as important as our need to for us to feel that they're safe. Not that they are safe, because it certainly doesn't give them safety. It just makes us feel that they are safer.
And I don't even know if it does that if we're clear about what's happening. But it allows them to control people, right?
Absolutely.
To control populations that they feel are out of control.
Absolutely.
Just based on the fact that we're the stereotypes and the profile of black and brown students. You know, we know if two or more of you are gathered together, Marche,
it's a problem.
It's a problem. Whether it be on the bus, whether it be in the mall, and whether it be in the classroom where you're supposed to be.
Right.
It's still a problem, right? And so we want to.
It sends a loud and clear message that I am, as a parent, and absolutely uncomfortable with. And I can't tolerate the notion that our students, my children, are treated as if they are criminal. And for me, being involved with Students Deserve is about me telling young people, I believe in you. I believe that education is actually very important. It's critically important. And so you need to be in your English class uninterrupted by this.
Absolutely.
That's what drew me to the whole movement.
Absolutely. You're listening to Conversations on the Way, the Asafo edition, with your host, me, Nana Jumphy, and I'm speaking with Marche Das of Students Deserve and Dr. Angela James, and we are going to be joined now by another student with Students Deserve, Christabel Ukamadu. Christabel Ukamadu is a Dorsey High student as well, a senior, who has been organizing with Students Deserve for about 2 years now. Christabel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you've had a chance to hear a bit of what we've been talking about, but we really want to also hear from you in terms of, especially as someone who's been working with Students Deserve for 2 years, what have Students Deserve been doing to try to elevate the plans, the agenda, the concerns of black and brown youth in particular in our schools?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that clearly. Can you please repeat?
No problem. Just wanting to know, what kind of work has Students Deserve been doing in the 2 years that you have been working with Students Deserve?
Oh, my goodness. We have been working tirelessly. Because during my the start of Students Deserve, we did a couple movements, we did protests, but recently we actually started passing out buttons. This time we have passed out over 15,000 buttons to about 70 different schools about our cause of random searches. We held a conference type thing at LA Trade Tech in which hundreds of people showed up, and we still, like, we talked about our calls. We talked about, we had women of color, a panel filled with women of color speaking about our cause. And we have been speaking to the board members about this. We have been speaking directly to them. And we have had nothing but students representing us because we are the voices. We are the people that random searches are affecting the most. And we have just been reaching out. We've been doing what we can.
Excellent. And it's been a lot. February 24th is when you had your convening, and there were, you know, almost 1,000 people there. An excellent, excellent event. Reached out to a lot of different schools and being able to organize on different campuses, because we know that we have issues. You know, I'm thinking, Angela, I'm remembering that, oh, it helped me with the name of the school that had the graffiti, the racist graffiti.
That was Palisades High School.
Goodness. Palisades.
My son went to that high school.
And when was that? That was
about 2 or 3 years ago.
Exactly. And I remember looking at that and thinking to myself, you know, this is a high school that's not going to necessarily have so many random searches, mm-hmm. and where people are not going to be as criminalized based upon strictly the racial and economic constitution of that school. And so racist white supremacists get to run wild, you know.
I think unpunished.
Unpunished. I think of the school that I went to, which was like a all-girl, basically all white, except, you know, with specks of pepper and a sea of salt, Republican, super Republican school. And they were so, it was so important to them that everything looked pretty and everything looked nice, so that we would have the ability to be able to study in this loving and, you know, enjoyable environment. Now, it wasn't enjoyable to me, because I would go to the restroom and see signs that say the South is going to rise again, because this was in Virginia. But for the white students there, it was lovely, right? And then to see how our students are expected to operate with metal detectors or with random searches, with cops, with guns. It's really, you know, just an amazing thing when you think about it, that people think that that would be okay. How has the response of... go ahead. Go ahead.
I was about to touch on a little bit of what you were saying about how all the school with the graffiti, like you would notice that they don't get as criminalized as we do. But Grace, she spoke on February 24th, and she spoke about issues like this. She said that with the recent shooting that went on, she spoke and she said, don't use that as a means to criminalize us.
Right.
Because what I've noticed is when things like that happen, when the shootings happen, they normally criminalize Black youth. And they use that as a means to, like, oh, more metal detectors in Black schools, because this might happen in Black schools. When you look at the stats and the statistics, when you look at the stats, it mainly happen in majority white schools. But they don't get penalized. We do.
Christabel, that's an excellent point. An excellent point. I wonder, you know, Marche, what do you think? You think they're going to have more police officers roaming that school in Parkland? You think they're going to set up metal detectors for them? You think that they're going to be patted down and interrupted as they're taking their AP chemistry class? You think that's going to happen?
No, I really don't. I do not think that's going to happen.
And, you know, it's something that we have to take into consideration. I want to see if we can play a clip of that I'm calling Black Girl Magic, a clip of a sister who is speaking at the March for Our Lives in Washington, D.C. I want to see if we can hear from that sister, because the kind of work that we're talking about students deserve doing, there's Black students, I'm telling you, y'all been doing this over the country for a minute now, you know, and it's necessary for people to recall that. So let's go to that clip.
March for Our Lives on March 24, 2018. We're here for three important reasons. Number one, what they will not do is ignore Black voices. Number two, what they will make sure to do is include our agenda in the agenda for gun prevention reform. When we talk about legislative issues and solutions for gun violence, it has to include the intersections of Black violence. That means guns, that means gangs, that means schools, that means teachers, that means police brutality, that means state violence. It has to include all of that stuff if we're going to be able to do this together. This is not just about white people in school shootings in the classroom. They kill us in churches. They kill us on the streets.
Yeah.
They kill us in the car.
Yeah.
They kill us when we're traveling. And they kill us in our classroom.
Yeah.
This is about all the young Black people that you're looking
at. Yeah.
That's what this is about. It's not about none of this extra stuff with the concert. That's great. We're here to organize, represent, and show power. And the third thing that we're here to do is make sure we have a great time.
Yeah.
We came from all across the entire country to be here for this specific moment, because I want my people to feel empowered. And I want them to go back to the field and to know that when they get back to the local organizing, that's where it matters.
Yeah.
Man, that's where it matters. The local organizing students deserve.
Yes.
You know, Youth Justice Coalition, folks sitting right here on the ground,
right.
Young people pushing and making it happen. That just brings chills. I still got those chills. You see, I'm wearing sleeveless and the goosebumps are right there. You know, hearing from you, Marche, hearing from you, Christabel, about what we need to do, you know. Dr. James and I, we stand in support of you, of you, of you and your comrades and what you're doing. I want to ask you a question, Angela, but before I do that, let me go to Marche quickly. In terms of the what Students Deserve is looking at doing in the future, or the things that you are, your demands right now, we can focus on that. What is it that Students Deserve that you all are saying are the issues that we here in the greater Los Angeles area need to pay attention to and need to support you on?
We need people to support us and really get in community schools. We need therapists. We need more counselors. I need more than one counselor. It's a
exactly.
School full of, we have a lot of kids. We're in urban area. We're down here, and there's a bunch of kids in the hood, and not everybody wants to stay in the hood. But when you give us one college counselor and a hood full of gangbangers, there's not really an option. This college counselor is overflooding with students who are probably knocking their door down, and everybody isn't going to want to do that decision because it's not always the easiest. You get frustrated, and then you go to something that's easier, which is would be the hood.
And you know, for a lot of us, even our counselors are telling us we can't do what we want to do when we say this is the profession or this is the vocation that I'm interested in, which may not include a lot of years of college or any years of college, but we're still being told, oh, no, that's not going to be there for you. That's not an option for you. And so we need counselors and therapists, but we also need counselors and therapists that are actually going to connect with our youth.
More
right?
Counselors,
yes.
Less cops. The money that you're spending on cops, they could be spent into things that actually enliven our young people, not things that bring them down.
Christabel, I want to ask you about this idea of arming teachers. Now, I've already determined, like, part of my little side joke, if we can make fun of some of these things, is that you know who not, which teachers ain't going to get armed. Now, you know that. You know that certain teachers, the black and brown teachers, they're going to be like, oops, for some reason you have not passed the test you need to pass in order to carry weapons in the classroom. But, Christabel, I want to hear briefly from you, what is your take on this idea of arming teachers?
I'm usually not speechless, but I feel like this is the most ludicrous idea I have ever heard in my life.
And what makes it ludicrous to you?
The whole idea that we already feel criminalized with random searches in. Now with arming teachers down, like I said, I'm normally not speechless. I always have something to say, but I just can't fathom how somebody could, like, think that this is going to make the students more safe, knowing that your teacher has a gun and
will bust a cap. That your teacher may bust a cap in the middle of your lesson.
I think the same way. I mean, I was telling some friends of mine, if I had a student, I mean, my son is grown, but if I had a student that was in school and I found out that his school was allowing teachers to be armed, he would be out of that school. We'd have to figure out some little homeschool co-op. Something would have to happen, because first of all, as soon as they put up this idea, teachers were shooting themselves, shooting the foot, shooting the air, shooting. They were pulling out guns left and right in, not in inner city schools, mind you, in these same schools where these mass shootings happen. They were, because they had guns, that they were misfiring the gun accidentally, all of that.
And
just on the idea, okay?
On a serious note, I want to point out that In these schools right now,
hold on, Christabel.
The black and brown students are more criminalized, more punished, more disciplined. Do you think that there will be anything other than the kind of disparities we see in police shootings replicated with teacher shootings?
With the same words, right?
Yes.
I was afraid for my life. You know, he's tall. He looked like LeBron James. He's scary. He a basketball player. You know, she was sassy. I didn't know if she was, you know, Latasha Harlins, what did she do? And she got shot in the back of the head. So are we really thinking that this is going to work? You know, it's quite scary. Christabel, you wanted to say something?
No, I just wanted to say, like, all I want to understand is, like, the thought process behind this idea. Because I really still can't come up with a good reasoning.
I tell people all the time, when I hear people who are not black and brown who are talking about they want more guns somewhere, I understand who they want those guns for.
Yes.
I understand that, you know, they don't want those more guns for Timmy and Becky and, you know, the others. They want those guns for Kwame, Tyrone, Sicily, you know, that's who they want the guns for, right? And Shaquan, this is who the guns are for. You know, Jose, you know, Mariela, this is who the guns are for. They have a good understanding that those people need to face the barrel of guns, but not their kids, right? Not
fear.
Their kids.
They need to live in fear.
Right.
That's the message, that it's okay for our young people to live and operate and be educated under the circumstance of fear. And we say it's not okay. So another thing that we want to do, our immediate goals in Students Deserve, is we want an end to random searches immediately.
Now.
Stop interrupting our children's education for your false sense of security.
Right. Absolutely. How do folks get